Welcome to a podcast of Aurelia Community Church, where we desire to bring the whole gospel to the whole person, to the whole world, proclaiming the liberating power of the gospel as we grow, serve, and go. Join us in this message as we look to the scriptures, seeking to be transformed into the image of Christ.
We got a story being told this evening where we're going to use the rocking chair, so a special one for our kids, so you're not going to want to miss that. Welcome on this Christmas Eve morning. We're so glad you're here and part of this Home for Christmas series. And some of you are already home and family have arrived. And others of you plan on going home for Christmas this next week. And some of you are trying to figure out, how can I get some of my family into somebody else's home this Christmas? It's one of those complex times of the year, isn't it? It's such an interesting time because it seems to draw out all these expectations, these pressures, these emotions that are just come to the surface this time of year. Somebody once described this as the intensifying dynamic of Christmas. And what they meant by that was that Christmas time, the highs seem higher and the lows seem even lower. And some of you are going to be on a Christmas high this week. Maybe it's your first time celebrating Christmas with kids, or your first time as a married couple, or your first time with grandkids. Some of you have a loved one who's been a long way from home, who's coming home this Christmas. It's just going to be so wonderful to have everybody together. Maybe you started a new job this year, or you made some new friends. You feel like things are in a better situation, better circumstance this year. And Christmas seems like an opportunity just to celebrate that. The sense of God's goodness and the life that He's bringing. But Christmas also has this ability to bring the lows really down, doesn't it? Bring up what's broken. Bring up what's missing. Bringing up those things that we don't really want to be going through. Maybe this year you lost your job and you're uncertain what the future holds. Maybe this year you've experienced the end of a relationship, the loss of a loved one, a change in your health, or something that just wasn't expected. Or maybe this year feels just like last year and just like the year before that. And just like the year before that, you're not sure how this new year coming is going to be any different. And there's a cynicism that goes with that. That's interesting. You know, we all face circumstances, situations that we didn't ask for, that we didn't anticipate. They don't come with a gift receipt where we can return them. They don't come with the option to give them back. You know, see, the Christmas story is one of those stories. Probably more than just about any other story in the scriptures that we have so romanticized. But the Christmas story is like one of those unwanted gift stories. You know, think of Mary's burden of being the mother of Jesus. She's not married. She's engaged to be married. And an angel comes to her and says, "You're going to give birth to the Son of God." Yeah, no pressure, right? You know, at Mary's side was Joseph. And we're going to focus on Joseph a little bit this morning. Because Joseph's story often goes overlooked in the Christmas narrative. We don't think an awful lot of him. You know, Joseph is an introvert. He's your quintessential quiet guy. You know, there is not one word that Joseph utters in the pages of the scripture. You know, we don't hear a thing from him. And we're going to see this morning that Joseph isn't a passive bystander. In the midst of this otherwise miraculous story, Joseph faced what for him could be the most unwanted guest he could imagine. And his response changed his life and has the power to change ours as well. I want to read through that part of the story this morning. So Matthew chapter 1, I want to pick it up in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Literally, he was a righteous man. And let's just flag that statement, faithful to the law, righteous man. We're going to come back to it. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. I know many of you have heard that before. You've heard it told at a Christmas concert or whatever. But we could miss, because we've heard it a lot of times, we could miss the controversy. We could miss the explosiveness of the language that Matthew uses. He begins with this statement. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one, the expected one, the one whom Israel has been longing to come for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. That's the preface. That's the background. And his mother, Mary, says, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Being pledged to be married is different than our engagement. It was literally, in the language of the day, a betrothal. You know, today's engagements, you know, you got to have all this fancy engagement parties and ways of proposing. I proposed to Janice over a cup of Neo Citron. You know, we didn't do anything fancy. This is a couple, Mary and Joseph, who met not on Match.com or Tinder or eHarmony or Plenty of Fish. Or they didn't become friends and then gradually grow in a relationship. They didn't go that route. They were pledged to one another by their families. Joseph was probably maybe 18 at the most. Mary could have been as young as 13. They probably didn't know each other very well. Their families pledged them to be married. But that pledging to be married had the same legal weight as actual marriage. And the two parties were referred to as husband and as wife. And you saw that in the story already. They could only be separated by what was known as a certificate of divorce during that betrothal period, which could last a year or even a little longer. And during that betrothal period, they didn't consummate the marriage, which means the one thing you would not expect was a pregnancy. And so that created this huge dilemma for Joseph. Remember back, I said we're going to tag that phrase, faithful to the law, a righteous man. You know, that doesn't mean simply that he was a good guy. That, you know, he went to synagogue, he went to church, he was really polite to his neighbors. He was just a really good guy. No, it was a technical term. A form dealt with his reputation. The phrase, a righteous man, in the Hebrew is the word tzaddik. To be a tzaddik was to be known for how devoted, for how faithful to the law you were. You kept all the details. You wouldn't eat any unclean food. You wouldn't hang out with disreputable people, like, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, shepherds. You wouldn't violate the Sabbath laws. You wouldn't ignore the holy days of Israel. And certainly a tzaddik, a righteous man, wouldn't enter into a marriage with a woman who was pregnant. Joseph, that man, he's a righteous man. He's a tzaddik. It was the highest honor that a simple carpenter from Nazareth could have achieved in life. And he worked hard to hang on to that reputation. That was his dream. He planned out his future, the future for his marriage, future for his family, to be known around his faithfulness to God, his devotion to God, his devotion to God's word, to God's law. Can you imagine what Joseph experienced, the struggle when he hears this news? And we don't know whether Mary told him or he started hearing rumors going around the town. Imagine going to Mary. Imagine the conversation they have. Joseph, I'm pregnant. But don't worry, I haven't been with another man. This child comes from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give birth to the miracle of miracles. You ever hear of Ave Maria? Well, she probably wouldn't have said that. But that's going to be about me. Joseph, aren't you excited? No, he wasn't. Joseph wasn't the least bit excited. Everything about his future changed in that moment. A baby conceived by the Holy Spirit, even if it's true, who's going to believe it? No one. And that day, to be pregnant, to be caught in adultery had severe consequences. Deuteronomy 22 says, she shall be brought to the door of her father's house, and there the men of her town shall stone her to death. And even in Jesus' day, while that punishment wasn't always practiced, public exposure to shame and disgrace would have been. In Jesus' day, women caught or believed to have committed adultery would have been brought to a public place and stripped and mocked and possibly even harmed. And you, those of you who know the stories of Jesus, know there was a woman who was thought to have been caught in adultery and brought before Jesus. This is real. You know, that's, I think, part of the reason why during the census that gets taken, Joseph traveled with his 9-month pregnant wife from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There was no legal requirement that she go with him. But I wonder if he took her with him to protect her from all the rumors, to protect her from all the scandal, the stuff that was spreading around town. Law was plainly clear for a righteous man, a tzaddik like Joseph. What the law says you do, you do. And so Joseph wants to spare Mary from this disgrace and this all the stuff that's going to happen. So he decides to divorce her quietly. He could have had her subject to shame and disgrace, exonerating himself and protecting his reputation. But he chose to do something far more gracious. But even in that act of compassion, Joseph is disappointed. He's frustrated. He so much longs. He had a gift certificate. He could give this gift back. Quiet divorce is still a divorce. Matthew says Joseph considered this. That word considered can be translated as he got frustrated. He was fuming. He was angry. In fact, the only other place in the New Testament where that particular word is used is when Jesus describes the righteous leader, or religious leaders. He says, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart?" Joseph, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart when you think about your relationship with Mary? You see, it's because his story, his future, his hopes, his dreams crashed before his eyes. This is real. It's not a fictitious, it's not a spiritualized, romanticized story. This is real. Joseph is frustrated. He's hurt. His mind is swirling over where his life is going, over the turn that it's taken. You ever been places like that? Where your mind just spinning? That moment when the news came. That moment when circumstances changed for the worst and it hurt you so badly. When you found out you lost your job. When someone said, "I don't love you anymore." When you watched a child or a friend or a loved one face a situation that you wouldn't wish on your worst enemy. Or you have a friend or even yourself going through a situation with health. And while the diagnosis isn't terminal, the doctors don't have any answers about the quality of your life. The treatment doesn't seem to be working. And there's just no end in sight. Just more pain and discomfort. And this gut-wrenching thought that this is now the new normal. It's just normal. I can't give this back. Just disappointment. It's in seasons like that, it's so easy, isn't it, to fall into discouragement, to fall into to cynicism, to give way to bitterness. You know, we hear the words of the Christmas songs about being merry and having joy and peace. And they just sort of lose their meaning at that time, don't they? That's why we need to hear the real story of Christmas. We need to hear what happened, because we will not make sense of a lot of the stuff that happens in our lives if we don't see it through the lens of what happened at Christmas. What happens to Joseph? In the midst of this moment of disappointment, when his heart is discouraged and his mind is racing, it's at that moment that Joseph hears from God. You notice that? When Joseph least expects it, God shows up. God shows up not when everything is neat and tidy and put together. God shows up not when Joseph is calm, cool, and collected. Not when he's worshiping God and with the brothers and sisters in the tabernacle. Not when all things are good. Not when all is calm and all is bright. It's when he's closest to disappointment. What we need to see and what we need to understand is that when we're closest to disappointment, God comes close to us. It's when you're closest to that feeling of disappointment in life that God draws close to you and is ready to speak, is ready to say something. And the question is, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to hear? Not are you willing to listen to what you think God is going to say to you, but what God is really saying, what God is really speaking? Are we really ready to listen? It's in those moments when we don't want to listen. In those moments when we want to go our own way. We want to stand up for my rights. It's in those moments, I believe, that when we say, God, you're far away. You don't care anymore. You clearly could have shown up, but now I'm in this situation. And so I'm going to have to pull myself up. I'm going to have to get myself out of this. Thank you very much. And we stop listening to God. And what we see in this story is that when we stop listening, it radically impacts what happens next. Because the Christmas story only moves forward as Joseph hears from God, as Joseph listens to God. And I can't stress this enough. We need to make time, especially if you're stressed or struggling, to hear from God. You need to get away even for a few minutes by yourself and block out some time. Lock yourself in the bathroom if necessary. And some of you by the middle of the week are going to need to do that. Find that quiet spot and listen for what God is saying. Because when you're closest to breaking, to being stressed, to disappointment, God draws close. I wonder what he'll say. I wonder what word he has for you in this season. He has a particular word for Joseph. And so what does God say to Joseph through the angel? He says three things. He says, don't be afraid. He says, take Mary as your wife and name Jesus as your son. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because these other two decisions, taking Mary as your wife and naming this baby Jesus, are going to be the most costly decisions of your life. The most difficult decisions. See, for Joseph to take Mary as his wife and Jesus as his son is going to basically mean he's binding himself to a woman who everybody else thinks is an adulteress. And everybody else thinks is a child who's illegitimate. And that means it's going to cost him his reputation, his life, and his future. He's no longer going to be called a righteous man. He's no longer going to be called a Tzaddik. It is so significant. None of his friends would have attended the wedding because it was a disgrace. His family may have shunned him or even disowned him. Joseph, the boy who had always been known as a good kid, as faithful and as devout, would never again be thought as righteous as a Tzaddik. And we actually see this playing out in the New Testament. You know, in Jesus' ministry, he goes back and he preaches in his hometown of Nazareth, where Jesus is from. And people say things like, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this Mary's son? See, the normal way of speaking would, isn't this Joseph's son? But Joseph even gets almost eliminated from the story. Israelite boys were always described as their father's son. When the angel comes to Joseph, it's Joseph, son of David. But now, isn't this Mary's son? We won't even say his name. We won't even talk about what happened to that guy. He used to be one of the good guys, but now he's disgraced. He's ashamed. And his name, his reputation, that which he valued most, is forever disgraced. And he'll never get it back. That cost Joseph that, to marry Mary, to take Jesus as a son. We don't hear much about Joseph after this story. Watch this short video clip. It's not going to play. Okay? Go back. Yeah, go back. That scene. What do you call a long pass in the very last minute of the game? A Hail Mary. Nobody's ever called it a Hail Joseph, have they? You know, Joseph totally gets eliminated from the scene. But I'll tell you one person who never forgot what Joseph did. The child he took in. The little boy he called his son. The boy who called Joseph his father. The boy who saw his father's righteousness. The boy who watched his father come to a defense of a woman who was assumed to have committed adultery. The son who watched his father take on the shame and disgrace and scandal of another. Sound familiar? Kind of brings new meaning when Jesus said these words in John's Gospel. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He does only what He sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And Jesus, growing up and seeing His Father act like a righteous man, and then as a man Himself, He transforms that and recognizes and declares that the truth of Father God is the one He walks with. Maybe Joseph's life wasn't silent after all. His decision, his faith in that moment. Don't be afraid. Take Mary as your wife. Name Jesus as your son. Change the story. It cost Joseph so much. It changed his life, but opened up the possibility for life for you and I. So where does this leave us? Leave us when life brings us unwanted gifts, unwelcome circumstances. Now, I think the angel's instructions are still very relevant to us today. Don't be afraid. No matter how hard it gets, no matter what situation you face, no matter how much it looks like life as you know it seems over, the future is in so much doubt, this is the new normal, this pain I'm walking through, don't be afraid. And it's in those hard times, it's so easy, isn't it, to fall victim to our fears. To think that the worst is still to come and that God doesn't care. But Christmas changes that. The coming of Jesus, who is Emmanuel, God with us. And it's not God who's far, far away. Not God who is disinterested, but God who is close right now. Can't see Him maybe, you can't feel His presence, but He promises to be with us. Jesus never promises that there won't be storms. Jesus never promises that there won't be unwelcome stuff that comes into our lives. That He doesn't promise there'll never be an unwelcome circumstance. But He promises to be there with you as God with us. And that's why we don't have to be afraid. No matter what you're facing today, you don't have to be afraid. Because God promises for His kids to be with us. Take a risk, the second thing is. When the angel says, take Mary as your wife, the angel's basically saying, this is going to be risky. You're going to have to take a risk. You can't do this kind of halfway. You can't hedge your bets. You have to risk that God will do something good with this. You have to risk that God can redeem this. You have to risk that there's going to be hope, even though right now, it feels like there is no hope. What's the risk that you have to take this Christmas season? Maybe for you, the risk is simply to keep on praying, even though it feels like God is taking forever to answer. Or maybe He feels like He's not even listening. Maybe for you, the risk is not falling into bitterness or cynicism, where it feels like your situation's only going to get worse. It's never going to change. Maybe for you, the risk is loving that person who is so hard to love. And you're just so tired and weary of it. And it feels like you don't have what it takes anymore. Maybe for you, the risk is reaching out and helping someone or serving. Even when it feels like you've got nothing left to gift and you're running on empty. Take a risk. Take a risk because the end of the story isn't yet written. And that's what we see in this story. Joseph has to make a decision, and it alters the course of history. He takes a risk. It tells us that our faith matters. Our courage matters. Our perseverance in the face of difficulty matters. And God will use it, and God will honor it. He did it for Joseph. Take a risk. Then thirdly, commit yourself to Jesus. When the angel says, you shall name him Jesus, that's a legal act. It's a legal commitment. Joseph is binding himself to this little boy. His future is now tied to the fate and future of this child. There's no going back. There's no gift receipts. I wonder, do you think Joseph ever regretted that? Think Joseph ever regretted that decision? You ever regretted seeing Jesus grow up? You ever think he regretted seeing this boy grow strong and wise? You think he ever regretted all the conversations and the laughter and the tears and the walks together and the time spent in the carpenter shop and the conversations we don't have any record of, the anticipation of who this boy would become? You think he ever regretted what he saw and realized that this child born in scandal and surrounded by rumors was truly and truly the Savior of the world? I wonder if you ever thought back to that moment. What if I didn't? What if I hadn't? What if I'd given into my fear? What if I hadn't taken a risk? What if I hadn't been willing to commit myself? Let me ask a question. This Christmas, do you think taking a risk to put aside your fears, to take that step of faith that God's calling you to, committing yourself to Jesus, even when it doesn't make sense, do you think that you ever regret that? That moment when you discover God actually has a heart and pours out His love for you, that He's doing stuff that we don't see on the surface, that there is redemption, there is hope, even when life looks like it's going down the drain. Whatever it is you're walking in, whatever it is you're walking through this season, whatever is on your plate this Christmas, it's possible that this struggle, this pain, this hurt may become the moment you discover is more present than you ever hoped or imagined God could be, more capable than you could ever expect. This season, this struggle, even though it feels scary or overwhelming, can be the moment that you find hope and peace and God's contentment like never before. It's possible God can take that one step of faith, that one step you take to change the course of your life, the course of your family's life, the course of so many. Certainly was the case with Joseph. I've seen God do that in so many people's lives. And God can do that in your life. God can do that in you if you're willing like Joseph. Even when it doesn't always make sense. Even when it seems scary. Even when there's pain and there's frustration. We come and we trust. We're not afraid. We take that risk. But it's only going to work if you tie yourself to this Son who was born at Christmas time. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's take a moment and pray right now. And as we pray, just close your eyes and take a moment. Don't think about who's on your right or who's on your left or what you have to do when you go home after the service. Take a moment to focus on God, to talk to Him. This is a moment to just be you, to be real. Remember that when you're closest to disappointment, God is actually closest to you. He doesn't need you to mix words or say it the right way. And for some of you right now, what's on your heart is too deep for words. There aren't words. It's just groaning. And that's okay. Because He knows. He knows. And the reason Jesus came into the world, the reason He was born surrounded by scandal and rumor, was to put His life at risk, to take a risk on you. A decision He never regretted, even though it cost Him His life. I don't know what the risk this morning will look like for you, but I know you can trust Him with it. I don't know what you need to surrender right now, but I know He's trustworthy and faithful and good. And I know Jesus came into the world for this moment. For you, what would it look like right now? for you to commit yourself to Him, to name Him as Savior, as Lord in your life, to tie your fate and your future to His. I don't know what today will look like for you, but I can tell you this. One day you'll see clearly what He's doing. One day He will bring the story to its proper and complete and glorious conclusion. One day you know. And if you trust Him right now, you'll never regret it. And so Jesus, we trust You. We bear our lives before You. We come before You with all of who we are. All of who we're not. All that we fear. All that we hope. Help us take a risk to trust You with all of ourselves right now. Jesus, we're so grateful You came into this world, into our messy lives. Lives filled with scandal and shame and rumor and disappointment. And You are the with us God who walks with us each step of the way. We're so grateful for this season, for Christmas, for the birth of Jesus, and for Your life, and for Your love. And we pray all of this in Your awesome name. Amen. Amen.
We pray that God will use this message to strengthen your faith and draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. If you are interested in other sermons or want to know more about Aurelia Community Church, please visit our website at www.occweb.org.